Grab your Bible, Acts 3, again tonight, the book of Acts, chapter number 3. I want to pick up where we left off. Seems like the Lord has let us get a break out of the Psalms. I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm not like we need a break out of the Psalms. Them Psalms are a blessing. And Brother Sammy Allen used to say, amen, stay in them Psalms every day and you keep your song in your heart. And I believe that's true. Amen. And we've tried to preach through those Psalms. And what are we in? 90? I think we're in 90. We've kind of been studying ahead on several of them. But seem like this month the Lord has birthed this truth in our heart. And not sure what all the Lord's doing with it. I hope He's doing something with it. I know He is in my heart and in my life. And we want to try to deal with this again tonight if the Lord will be our helper. Acts 3, and let's read some verses here again. We're preaching through these lame man miracles, the restoration of the ability to walk to lame people. There's three of them in the book of Acts. And we're looking here at the first one. It's the second one we're looking at, but it's the first one in order. The Bible said in verse number 1, Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then said Peter, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Peter, in verse number 12, said this didn't happen by our power or by our holiness. In verse 13, he said this happened because God did it, that he might glorify his Son. And this message is preached in the end of chapter 3, chapter 4. We find that Peter and John, they are incarcerated in the temple and are on the verge of really being persecuted and are challenged for what has taken place. They preach that wonderful message that there is no salvation in any other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That salvation and being made whole comes through and solely through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they reprimand them, saying, don't teach or preach or speak at all in the name of Jesus. They release them. In verse number 22, in verse number 21, the end of it said, For all men glorified God for that which was done. At which was done the healing of the lame man, verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, one more time tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus on this prayer meeting night. Lord, before we go through these truths, Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, Lord, truth upon truth, as you've laid it out in our heart to deliver into the people of God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, you know our heart and our desire to be a blessing. Lord, you know tonight, Lord, the great need that we have, that, Lord, the power of the Lord would rest upon us for a few moments. Lord, I pray you would touch us in every way, our voice, our mind, our heart, our words, our lips, And Lord, as we stand before the people of God, help us, Lord, to say everything that you'd have us to say. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd leave unsaid everything, Lord, that needs not be said tonight in this service. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, we'd be challenged, but Lord, that we'd be encouraged tonight in our walk with God. Help us, Lord, as we've been preaching, Lord, to step it up, kick it up a notch, and Lord, to be all that you've saved us to be and desire us to be in these last days. And all that you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it again. Amen and amen. In studying these, what we call the lame man miracles, we're looking at these things in light of what takes place in the verses we've read. Also, we looked at Acts chapter 9 is kind of where the thought was birthed out of, and the Lord has enlarged upon the thought as we're studying Acts 3 and Acts 14 in the first and the third instance of the lame man miracles. In these miracles, we find there are different men for various amounts of time. Some for various obvious reasons were made lame. This man in our text is said to be lame from his mother's womb and had been that way for 40 years. The man in Acts 9 that Peter calls upon to rise and make up his bed and walk had been lame for 8 years. And so there obviously was something that happened to that man in his life. And Paul is going to heal the man later on in Acts 14. We'll study that next week. And obviously a whole different set of circumstances. But in each case, we are noting that the Lord did not desire for these men to stay in the lame condition they were in. Each of these men, their condition presented different hardships and circumstances and strenuous situations in their life that made life difficult. And yet, however long they stayed in that situation, it was by Jesus Christ they were made whole and able to walk. Not only walk, not only kind of stumble through life when God got done with these men and these miracle scenes. I don't even believe they had a limp. I don't believe they drug a toe. I don't believe that. Hey, man, what God did in their life, Brother Tim, and that, and when He raised them up and set them on a path forward, we find and read instances in words such as, hey, man, they arose and they began to walk. They began to proceed forward. And in this instance, in Acts 14, in both of those cases, and no doubt in Acts 9 as well, that these men, upon receiving this miracle, the Bible said that they began to leap. And when you're leaping, that is, you're kicking your heels out. And my friend, you're not just casual about, hey man, just mundanely walking, but hey man, these miracles were accompanied with, and no doubt, fulfilled upon them for the purpose whereby, hey man, they could walk and leap and kick it up. And so we're looking at these miracles in light of saints of God, and we can look at all of them, no doubt, in light of sinners, but in light of saints of God, and our thought is simply this, hey man, no matter if it's 40 years or 8 years or however long it's been, hey man, the thought that we're dealing with is it's time to kick it up a notch. Hey man, you've been laying too long. You've been wallowing in the corner too long. And it's time to kick it up a notch. Don't stay in the shape you're in. There is, as we'll see tonight, and really it's the main point we want to give tonight, and there is a power that is available that, hey man, if you'll let it tap into your life, you can kick it up a notch. And how often and prone we are in our spiritual lives to reach a place where we're kind of lame and we're laid down and we're not active as maybe we once were. We're not able to move and we're not able to progress. And we kind of, if we're not careful, arrive in a place where we're just satisfied with where we get. Hey man, Brother Larry told me, that, I don't know if it was last Wednesday night or one other time when we preached, yes. Hey man, I think Brother Larry said something to the effect going out. Amen. If you're just laying down and not going forward, then you're backing up. And I believe there's some evidence in the Word of God. Amen. Like that. And yet how prone all of us are at times. Amen. To reach a spiritual lameness, a spiritual plateau, if you will, where we just need somebody to come along and challenge you and I to kick it up a notch. And to be honest, there's times we know we need to. And there's times, amen, maybe in the power of the flesh we tried to no avail. Amen. You say, preacher, I know I need to kick it up a notch. And the truth be told, all of us do tonight. None of us have arrived yet. Amen. None of us have leaped to a spiritual level whereby, amen, we could say, I'm good and there's no need for me to kick it up a notch. Amen. We all can kick it up a notch tonight. Amen. In the words of Brother Fraser, when I preached some of this thought several weeks back, amen, some need to kick it up two or three notches. They've been so, amen, spiritually lame for so long. Amen, it wouldn't hurt some of us kicking up two or three notches. And so whatever the case is, it's time to kick it up a notch. And so looking at this text we looked at last week, the problem that incapacitated this man, the problem he is laying, no doubt the Bible is clear and plain about that. In verse number 2, and a certain man laying. That lame from his mother's womb was carried. And so this man needed strength in his feet and in his ankle bones, the indication of this man's plight. This man's problem that incapacitated him in his lameness, we looked at last week, just simply means part of the problem of being lame is that he's stuck. He is absolutely stuck. He is completely dependent on everybody else carrying him out. If he's going to go to the temple, if he's going to get anything from the temple, amen, even my friend, if it's alms and financial need, he is absolutely dependent upon others to get him there. Amen, and sometimes spiritually we just feel stuck. Amen, we're dependent on somebody else's spirituality. And can I say tonight, if you stay stuck there too long, my friend, you'll suffer greatly. Amen, you cannot make it long walking with God. Amen, being simply stuck, banking on somebody else. Amen, to carry your load and to carry my load. And so he's a man that is stuck. He's a man that is pegging. In his lameness, he can't go out. Amen. He can't work on his own. He has been reduced to begging. Amen. Just simply, can we put it? Amen. Living in the same old place, doing the same old things, and somehow satisfied with barely making it by. And so his problem that incapacitated him has reduced him to being stuck and to being begging. We looked at last week that in his plight and his problem of lameness, there is the matter is he is twisted. When the Bible said in the miracle, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, it would indicate to you and I that his feet had become twisted and had even turned inward. And some men who, amen, are smarter than I that have studied this said literally, this man's feet over 40 years had turned backwards, yet the bottom of his legs. And so this man is twisted. And so a sign that you're spiritually lame, amen, is that you're all twisted up. And, amen, you're kind of turned around backwards, so to speak. And, amen, the path that you walk is kind of crooked. Amen, when you're stuck and you're begging and you're twisting, guess what? Amen, that's how you know it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen, this man in his condition is disjointed. Amen, he receives strength not only in his feet, straightening them out, but also in his ankle bones, implying that, amen, that literally the connection, amen, that is in the human body and the ankle bone had come out of joint. This man had become disjointed. And when you're disjointed, amen, from God and the prayer place and the Word of God and fellowship with believers and the church and the man of God and old time worship, Amen. When you get disjointed about spiritual things in your life, it is indication that you need to kick it up a notch. And so, amen, we think, well, he's lame. Well, his lameness has put him in quite the predicament. Amen. And there he is, incapacitated and cannot do anything about this himself. We looked at last week the people that influence this man. The people when he's laid there. No doubt there are people in the opening of this chapter that have some sort of influence on his life. And they mean well, but they cannot help this man. And they cannot do for this man really what he needs done. And I'm not criticizing them, but, amen, their influence will only take him so far. And yet this man met two men in this text that are going to have a great influence upon his life. And the men that are in here to open the text, they have done all that they can do. Can I word it this way, making a little play upon the verses? That they have carried this man as far as they're going to be able to carry him. They're not going to be able to help him kick it up a notch. Amen. But when Peter and John walked in and walked back, amen, in the hour of prayer heading to the temple, amen, this man saw them. Amen, there was something about them that stood out. And they bore a great influence upon his life. And when he called out to them, no doubt asking for alms, Peter turned and looked him over. And Peter said, look on us. That is, amen, if you'll look on us, if you'll observe us, if you'll let us have influence in your life, amen, we may not have silver and gold, we may not have what you're asking for, and we may not have what you think you need, but we have who you really need. Amen. And so they had an influence on his life. What kind of men? What kind of men? And I think the point, amen, the truth here, the point that we want to communicate, amen, is not only, amen, finding the right people around us to influence our life, that will help us kick it up a notch, but also being that right kind of influence that, amen, could help others kick it up a notch. And so Peter and John in this text, I noted that they were men of devotion. They're headed to the temple at the hour of prayer. And so they're men of devotion. They're men that, amen, know how to get a hold of God. You want to kick it up a notch? Amen, submit your life and your spirituality, amen, to individuals that you know something about being devoted to the secret place. Amen. And we won't re-preach on of that. Amen. They were men of devotion. They were men of distinction. Amen. The indication is in verse number 3, who seen Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked in alms. That is, no doubt he was asking anybody that came by it. But there was something that stood out when Peter and John walked by. They were men of distinction. They were men. Maybe they were walking different. They were men. Amen. Maybe that as a result of having been with Jesus and having been filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, that man saw them and said, amen, this is not the average mundane temple dweller. These men have a distinction about their life. Amen. And you know who that crowd is that is distinct. Amen. You know that crowd that, amen, when you get around them, you just go, man, there's something different about their life. There's something different about how they talk. There's something different in their attitude. There's something different in how they handle hardship. There's something distinct about them that it just stands out. Let those people influence your life to kick it up a notch. These are men of discernment, we said in verse number 4. And so the Bible said, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John. That is, the man called out to Peter and John. He saw them, men of devotion, men of distinction. And he's looking for those men to help him by a very direct way of financial means. But, amen, Peter and John don't have financial means, but what they do, Brother Jerry, they turn and they fasten their eyes upon him. And the indication is they looked him up and down. Amen, they looked him inside and out. In other words, they were making a judgment. They were making a discernment about whether or not, amen, this man was just a bum, or if this man really was in a condition and he can receive some help and kick it up a notch. And we need people in our life that are like that. Men and women that, amen, we will subject ourselves to and let them discern our life and make judgment calls in our life. And I'm not talking about popery. Amen. I'm not talking about some hierarchical system. Amen. But submitting ourselves to people, amen, that we know has some wisdom and discernment and some spiritual judgment in their life. Amen. That they can challenge us to kick it up a notch. Amen, we'll digress right there. Lord, we need to preach there again, I'm sure. Amen, but men of devotion and distinction and discernment, but they're men of discipleship. Amen, Peter said that this man, amen, looks on them expecting to receive alms, and yet Peter and John say, silver and gold have I not. Amen, and I can see the boy drop his plate or his tin cup. Amen, thinking, well, here's somebody else that's just going to pass me by. Amen, but all of a sudden Peter said, but such as I have, amen, I may not have what you're asking for. I may not have what everybody else has been pouring into your life and is leaving you in the shape and the condition that you're in, that has left you just satisfied and in a mindset that this is how it's always going to be. But man, such as I have, I don't have what you're asking for, but I have something. Hey man, can I preach right here a minute? Hey man, I may not have what you think you need, but I have something that can impact your life. Hey man, what was it? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How did Peter and John know that? It's because they are disciples of the Master. Amen. What he is saying is, amen, we don't have material things to give, but we have a walk with Jesus. We've been with the Master. We've been instructed of him. We have been with him. We have heard what he has to say. And we have seen what he's able to do. And my friend, these were men of discipleship. Amen. One of the sad things I see, amen, in the Christianity in our day is sad that people, amen, who need to kick it up a notch do not associate themselves to an influence of people that really know what it is to walk with God. Amen. People who really know that they're saved. People that really know what it is. Amen. Not just to be saved and to be going to heaven and satisfied with that. Amen. But men that know something about holiness. And men that know something about the power of God. And men, my friend, who can say, I don't know much, I don't have much by way of what you think you need and everybody else has been giving you. This much I know, that a man that has saved me and changed my life, and the man who has taught me and instructed me and brought me this far, he is the same man who can impact your life. These were men of discipleship. Amen. That's right. Amen. This man didn't need any more. Amen. Animal sacrifice killers. Amen. He didn't need any more Pharisees. He didn't need any more Sadducees passing him by. Amen. He didn't, listen, it didn't matter what amount of money somebody gave him that day. Amen. If he does not have the right people in his life, he's still going home carried. He's still going to be laid down late. He's still going to get up the next morning in the same shape he's in. Thank God there's a Peter and a John in his life, amen, that influence him men of devotion and distinction and discernment, and men who were men of discipleship. And that's good preaching all night long right there. Amen. Be that kind of Christian. Surround yourself with those kind of Christians. Amen. Amen. We ought to love everybody. Amen. But when it comes to our own spirituality, amen, put some people in your life that, my friend, are going to pull you up to another level. Amen. I love this in verse number 7. Amen. And he took him by the right hand. He took him by the right hand. You know what? Amen. Peter did. Peter. Amen. Listen, everybody else passed him by. Amen. And maybe they just got, amen, used to seeing that man there in the same shape he'd always been in. Amen. But there's something on this day. Amen. That man said, I'm sick of being on my back. I'm sick of being a cripple. I'm sick of the way that I've been living. I'm sick of being stuck and begging and twisted and disjointed. Amen. And on that day, he finally reached down there. Amen. And got a hold of somebody's hand. Amen. That is going to be able to lift him up. Amen. Why? Because he's submitting himself to the right kind of influence. And when they influenced him, the Bible said in verse 11, amen, that he, amen, the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. If you get those kind of people in your life, amen, you better hold them and not let them go. Amen, hold them and don't let them go. Amen. A lot we could preach there. I got to give you number 3. I got to be done. Amen. I got to be done here in 11 minutes. Amen. Watch this. The power. We see the problem that incapacitated the man. We see here the people that influenced this man. But notice with me the power that invigorated this man. The power. You say, preacher, what do we mean by this? This man, let me say and kind of kick this off this way, that this man had no power for over 40 years to do anything more than he was. A lame man. He don't have power in himself to, amen, it don't matter, Brother Tim, how much he tries to shake them legs. Amen, he can take them at, amen, he can take them at night and turn them back around and face them up, amen, out the right way. Amen. But when he gets up the next morning, Brother A.L., they're folded right back and he's as twisted as he's ever been. He does not have power in himself to be anything more than he is. Amen. The crowd that has been around him, amen, has no power, amen, in themselves that, amen, can do anything for this man. May I say also tonight, amen, that even Peter and John, Sister Debbie, even Peter and John, amen, if you just take them, amen, by themselves, they themselves have no power to help this man. Amen, the power was not in the man, and the power was not in his buddies, and the power was not even in Peter and in John. Where is the power? Notice here with me. Amen. Once, as we see for over 40 years, amen, people passed him by. He can't help himself. He ain't got the power. Nobody else has the power. But in one verse, everything changed. In one verse, there was a power that touched his life that absolutely changed him. Amen. Let me give you a few thoughts about this power. Number one, amen, and this is where it all, amen, this is where it all comes together. Amen. But notice the person with the power. Amen. When Peter said, hey man, silver and gold have I none. I don't know what you got in your cup. Amen. But this child of God doesn't have anything to put in. Amen. Your little alm basket. I do not have that. But such as I have, give I thee. And what did he say? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In other words, what he's saying is, I don't have the silver and gold, but I have somebody who has power to do for you what you really need done. Amen. Amen. You see tonight, amen, the power was not in the man. The power was not in Peter. Peter testified of this. Amen. Peter was a mighty, mighty Christian. Amen. But if you take Jesus out of Peter's life, amen, all he is a man sinking in the storm. And all he is a man spewing out of the mouth, amen, braggadocious things. And if you take Christ out of Peter's life, amen, all he is a man warming himself by the world's fires and denying that he even knows Christ. And if you take Christ out of Peter's life, amen, he's on a boat naked with a bunch of other men. Amen. In bad shape. Amen. Listen, Peter in his own right. Amen. Was a mighty man, but he was mighty. Amen. Because of the Christ that was in him. Amen. That's right. Amen. He said, I ain't got silver and gold. And I got something that's far more powerful. I've got somebody to take you further than money can go. Hey man, I ain't got money, but I got the Master. I ain't got silver, but I know the Sovereign. Hey man, I ain't got tokens, but hey man, I can tell you about the one. Hey man, who can triumph in your life. Hey man, and he's talking about a power that goes beyond that of Peter. Hey man, oh, listen to this. Man, I want to preach so bad tonight. Amen. And when Peter saw it, that is, after the miracle was done, this great wonder and amazement is taking place. And people are looking at the man Sam, and they're going, that's the man that we just passed and have been passing all these years and has been begging and has been laying, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. They're going, what in the world has happened? Everybody is amazed. Verse 11 said that they were greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, that is their response, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? And so the implication, Brother Mike, is in their wonderment and their amazement, that they think that it is Peter and John that has done this. If that had been the average Christian, if it had been the average preacher of our day, they'd have said, you got that right, I got the power on me. Notice the humility of this child of God. Amen. What's what he said? Are y'all with me? He said, why look you so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we have made this man to walk. In other words, he says, it's not by our own power. I don't possess this to myself. He said, it ain't something that I have or that I have got. He said, I've not even done this because I've been holy. It's not my holiness that has done this. Notice how he gives the glory to God in verse 13. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, a God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Amen. He's bragging on the power of Jesus Christ. Can I say tonight, the power was not in Peter. The power was not in John. The power's, and I'm for holy living, y'all know that. And I don't care how holy you can live. I doubt anybody in the room tonight would be as holy as the beloved John the disciple. You talk about a holy man. You talk about a man that lived a holy life. But it was not by their own power. It was not by their own holiness. Peter said, I'm going to tell you why this man walks today. It's not because we had anything in ourselves to offer that we offer to Him, Jesus Christ. And can I say this evening? Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. It is the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ that helps you and I kick it up a notch. Amen. If you're hanging on to, amen, a mere preacher or a mere child of God, if you're hanging on to somebody simply hoping their holiness will rub off on your leg, amen, you're not going to get anywhere. Amen. Listen, get around that crowd and be around that crowd. And at the end of the day, if you're going to kick it up a notch, amen, if you're going to be any more than where you are, if you're stuck, if you're begging, if you're twisted and disjointed, if you've been on a spiritual lame track, amen, can I say, child of God, amen, if you're going to kick it up a notch, it will be by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And what partners could not do, and what the man's parents could not do, and what these dear preachers could not do, amen, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when He embraced, when He looked beyond His condition, when He looked beyond of the hurt and the pain, when He looked beyond, amen, what He thought would always be that way, and He allowed the name of Christ and the person of Christ to reach down and touch Him, that's when He received the power to be able to kick it up a notch. Am I making any sense tonight? You can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. And the church can't do it for you. And the preacher can't do it for you. But my friend, I'm telling you tonight that Jesus can do it. Jesus can. Amen. Let me show you something I've seen in this. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did He give him? He gave him the name of Jesus. He gave him the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, there's two ways, two types of things that I see here that are communicated, that help communicate, amen, the person with the power. Amen. Let me say number one. Amen. I see in this, and it bears out through the next chapter, amen, that preaching in the name of Jesus will be powerful in your life to help you kick it up a notch. Not the preacher, but preaching. Amen. When He says, silver and gold have I none, that's point number one. Amen. Peter had a 3-point message. Amen. Number one, I ain't got what you're asking for. Amen. Point number two, I do have something. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. And point number three is, here it is. If you want more than what you've ever had, it'll have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be made better, it'll have to be in Jesus Christ. And can I say, preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll work. It works. It works. How do you know, preacher? Because I've been there. I've been there when I couldn't help myself. I've been there when I tried and couldn't kick it up a notch. I've been there, my friend, when I tried, amen, to get around this person and that person, and my friend, to no avail. Amen. I've been there when a bellyache grumbled and complained and gossiped about how bad it was. Amen. But I've been there when the Holy Ghost is set me down and let a man of God get up, preach, amen, and do it in Jesus' name and preach for Jesus' glory and make Jesus big in my life. Amen. And preaching in Jesus' name, amen, will help you kick it up a notch. Amen. That's right. Amen. Then you say this is. Amen. You say, oh, that's so simple that it can't really be that. Amen. Well, when you come into chapter number 4, what is that crowd so disturbed about? Brother Tim, they sent Peter and John down and they said, tell you what, boys, we're going to let you go. Amen. But on the condition that you will not speak or teach in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, amen. In fact, hallelujah. Amen. Notice what Peter said in chapter 4. And in verse number 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And if you've ever kicked it up a notch tonight, and has been through the preaching of that book and has made much of Christ and made much of what Christ said and made much of what Christ taught and made much of the power of His gospel in your life, ain't you glad today, amen, for preaching in Jesus' name that helps us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for men of God to get up, just remind us who it's all about. Amen. And then I see typified in this verse, not only preaching in Jesus' name, but I see praying in Jesus' name. Peter here is acting as though, and in fact not even acting, he really is in the whole of this, in the reaching out and taking the man but Gerald by his right hand. He is in the position of a mediatorial intercessor that is in the name of Jesus, amen, pleading on this man's behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. What do you have, Peter? All I have is I can go to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't put no coins in your cup. Amen. But I can put some prayers to the throne of grace. Amen. I can't do much about where you're at. But what I can do, amen, is more powerful. Amen. And Peter right there could say, amen, it wasn't that long ago Jesus set us down and he began to teach us about prayer, yeah, and how we can go to the Heavenly Father, yeah, and ask that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. And he set us down and he said, at whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, amen, ye shall have those things that ye ask. Amen. And now Peter gets a chance to exercise that truth. And that friend, what he is doing, he literally is tapping into the person with the power of by praying in Jesus' name. Made it a practice in my prayers. You've heard your pastor pray. I don't do it out of vain repetition. I do it because it's how Jesus instructed us to pray. I'll begin my prayer with, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say why? Because that's how Jesus said you're supposed to come. Amen. Amen. That opens the Father's ear. Oh, would y'all get a hold of it tonight? Amen. Peter is standing there. A man has no power in himself. A man's parents had no power. He was born in this condition. My friend Peter himself, amen, says, I ain't got any power. Jesus said I could go and there was power in his name. And if I pray in the power of his name, amen, maybe the Father will do something about helping this man kick it up a notch. I'm telling you tonight, if you'll get on your knees and pray in Jesus' name. Say, I've done that, it don't work, then you're saying the Word of God is a lie, and the Word of God ain't ever been a lie. Amen. And may I quote to you the Apostle Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. Does work. You get down to pray, tell the Father, I ain't got anything. I ain't got no silver, gold, or treasures to lay at your feet. I come in the name of Jesus. You pour your heart out to God and you tell God what you need. And when you get done telling Him what you need and you tell Him how much you love Him and you tell Him how much that He means to you, amen, and right before you get up off your knees and walk out the throne of grace, amen, you tell the Father, I'm asking it all and I'm praying it all in Jesus' name. Amen, and you get up off your knees and you kick it up a notch. Amen, cause the key to the power, amen, is in the person, amen, who has the power, the person of Jesus Christ. Amen, that's good preaching. My time's, amen, and y'all ain't got me on a time limit. I was trying to end at 8 o'clock because I got to preach Friday and I'm having so much stinking voice trouble it ain't even funny lately. Amen, I plan on going down there and preaching like a wild man Friday night. Amen. Can I give you the producing in the power? There's two things I'll give you, several things the Holy Ghost pointed out to me. Let me give you two of them. Amen. What was produced when the power of Jesus touches man? Amen. It produced two needful things in this man's condition that without them he would never kick it up a notch. Number one, amen, it produced strength. It's what verse 7 said, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received what? Strength. Does that not imply that this man was in a state of weakness? The power of Christ came, and it didn't take, amen, it didn't take 6 weeks. It didn't take months and months and years. Amen. When the power of Christ touched him, when he submitted himself to the power in Christ's name, immediately he had strength. The word strength means to solidify, to confirm. Confirm some things in him. You ever had any doubts about your situation? What was going on? How it was going to turn out? This man received strength that confirmed some things in him. You know what Jesus' power does? It settles the doubts. So if I have doubts tonight, I'm not walking in and living in the power of Christ. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. This word strength, listen to this, it means to be made stable. You try to stand this man up, amen, before verse number seven, and if he can stand long, you know what he's going to do? He's going to wobble, and he's going to wobble some more until he falls flat on his face. Do you know what the power of Christ produced in his life? Amen. You know what we've got in this day? I'm not being rude and mean. We got a bunch of people, if you can prop them up. Then they fall and, amen, I could preach a lot right here, but, amen, you know what that's evidence of? They do not know the power of Christ in their Christian life. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that they're on their way to hell. I'm just saying when the power of Christ moves in our life, and that friend, when it goes to work, amen, what it does, it lets you get strength and you stand, and it makes you stable where you once was kind of wobbly. Boy, that's good preaching, Big Jeff. Thank you for that truth, Pastor. Amen. That'll help me, preacher. That'll help me the rest of this week. Amen. Strength. Y'all want the second one? I give you this in the closing point and we're out of here. Notice, amen, it produced strength, but it produced soundness. Peter made an awesome statement when he begins to talk about, to the crowd what has happened in this man. Look with me in verse number 16 and just look in the middle to the end of the verse. The faith which is by him hath given him, speaking this man who is lame that has been healed, amen, given him this what? Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It gave him strength, but Peter said it gave him and produced soundness. And not just soundness, Brother Mike, we're every word King James people, perfect soundness. What is the idea of this matter of soundness? Perfect soundness literally means integrity. He got his spiritual integrity back. It means wholeness. Peter would use the word whole in the next chapter to describe what happened. Amen. It means this. It means complete. Brother Larry, complete this man. Again, I would say, amen, in the idea of this matter, he received a producing of soundness. And this man, listen, he didn't walk in the temple with a limp. He didn't walk dragging his big toe. Amen, there's nothing that has not been made whole. Everything has been restored complete in his life. Amen. Amen. Complete in every part. Throughout the New Testament, the Apostle Paul would speak about you and I having soundness of mind. Living our lives by sound doctrine. When people don't have spiritual integrity, are y'all listening? When they reach a, I'm not even saying they're not good people. But if you're going to have Christian integrity, you're going to have to walk in soundness of mind. Live your life by sound doctrine. There's a lot I could preach there. Y'all do this right here so I think you got it so I don't have to. Soundness. Strength and soundness. How did he get that? I can't pass this up. How is strength and soundness communicated? We know that Peter, as a child of God, is preaching and a type of praying in Jesus' name. Does this man have any personal responsibility? That's a curse word in this day, personal responsibility. He has personal responsibility. There are two things that is emphasized in this text. You will never kick it up a notch and get strength and soundness without these two things. Number one, we'll call it his following, his obedience. When Peter challenged him, Peter gave him a command, rise up and walk. If Christ is going to move His power in you, you have a responsibility to respond to that power and operate in that power. Get up out of your lameness, kick it up a notch, rise up and walk. Can I say without falling, without obedience, we will never kick it up a notch. You say, preacher, I am doing the best I can to follow and obey Christ. I'm still just having problems getting over the condition I'm in. Well, notice what he said in verse 16. And his name through what? Faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I'm not being unkind tonight. It's been true in my own life many a days and probably will be in days to come. Trying to learn it. You know, a lot of times why we get where we are and we can't get out of it, we're not living in the realm of faith. Peter said, this man has exercised faith in his name. And this man's faith in the person with the power has produced what this man needed in his life. Is that right? Well, we need to say there. Brother Tim, I'll digress. I've been digressing every point here. Watch this. Notice the praise for the power. Amen. What did the man do when this miracle came? The Bible said he walked, leaped, and was praising God. Amen. Have you got anything you can look back over your life and go, right there, Christ helped me kick it up a notch? We ought to give him the glory for that. The man not only glorified God, there's people in that temple. They were going, man, we don't know what's going on, but they got to glorifying God. And Peter said, this wasn't done by our power or our holiness, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers has done this to glorify his son. In other words, the Father's praising His Son for what's been done. Over in Acts 4, when all that goes down and they let Peter and John go, they go back to the disciples, and the disciples, the Bible said, were praising God for the things which were done. Everybody's praising God because this man, by the power of Christ, was able to kick it up a notch. Amen. And churches tonight are silent. Churches tonight have lost their praise. Could that be an indication of our own spiritual condition? Because if you weren't lame tonight, and you was walking in the power of Christ, and I was, we might would be walking and leaping and praising God even on a Wednesday night. I know it ain't always that way. I understand that. But if you're kicking it up a notch, I think, and I can prove it through the book of Acts in this little study and this little thought we're doing, I can prove every time somebody was giving God glory for what He done. That's right. Amen. God don't let us kick it up a notch so we can go, oh, boy, I finally reached another level. Amen. We got spiritual gamers in our day. Everybody brags about what level they are in the game. Hey, Christianity ain't a game. It ain't about your glory and where you rank in the thing. It's about saying, I am what I am by the power of Christ and the grace of God. Amen. Ain't that a good thought? Telling you, man. I'm telling you, God has burned this. I'm praying, God, let me have a three-night revival somewhere so I can preach all three of these texts to a church. I think it's that important. I'm glad God's let me preach it to y'all. Amen. In about four or five different nights. Amen. Hallelujah. Love y'all.